On the topic dealing with everyday relationship challenges, amen. And I'll be doing, it's going to be on PowerPoint, hallelujah. It's been a while that we've used PowerPoint in our teachings here. When I was working on this, my little boy, Jethro, came around and saw what I was doing, and he was wondering, "Dad, I didn't know you could use a PowerPoint." "Dad, you mean you can use a PowerPoint? I wish I could be in church to see what you're doing." But I used to teach with PowerPoint here before, you remember? Hallelujah. So it's there, and so you can understand me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Am I speaking to everyone this morning? Are you here with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. It says, two are better than one. Can we all read it together, please? One, two, go. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. For threefold cord is not quickly broken. The more people you have in your life, the more you will not be quickly broken. The more people you surround yourself with, the more heat you enjoy in times of cold, the more encouragement you get when you are down, the more you engage people, the farther you get away from suicide. You will not be easily destroyed. A lot of the times, if the devil wants to destroy someone, all he needs to do is to isolate him. Hallelujah. Is to isolate him. Now, very quickly, the first thing here I'd like you to take is that we all need to have relationships and not live in isolation or be alone or lonely and just minding our own business. Is it there on the screen? Amen. That's the first thing I wanted to take home. And I know we all agree with this. It's something that we all agree with, that it's important that we develop relationships, each one of us, and no one should live in isolation. No one should be alone all by himself minding your own business. You come to church, after service, off you go because you are in a rush. Your everyday walk home, your TV, and church, you just come in, and after service, off you go. You're just minding your own business. This way of living is poor and unhealthy. And no one should live that way. We are a community. We should strengthen the community. We are a brotherhood. We should strengthen the brotherhood. We need each other. I need you, you need me. And we have to develop our relationship. Hallelujah. And I know you know that having a relationship is not just restricted to marriage. I'm not really talking about getting married or going into courtship. We just need to engage people. Hallelujah. Engage people, love them, love people, and have them as part of our lives. Hallelujah. The fact is that there are people that we all need in our lives in order to thrive, enjoy living, become what we're created for, and flourish. There are certain people that we actually need. You know, we need them to reach our destiny. We need these people to find. Amen. And so putting value in people, putting value in relationships, and working at it, it's good. Hallelujah. It's good. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, it's not on the screen, that scripture. It says, "And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone." This is God himself saying it. It's not good to be alone. It's not good to just mind your business. Live a private life. It's not good. It's not healthy. Hallelujah. God beheld Adam and he saw that he was just alone. He said it's not good for him. It cannot be good for you. It is not good for you. And then God said, "I will make him an help meet." And help meet. It's good that to understand that a good and healthy relationship is the one that is helpful and empowering. Hallelujah. One of the ways you can know that your relationship is good, or what you have with the people around you is good, it's you will notice that it is helpful to you and it is empowering. Hallelujah. The number two thing I'd like you to take is that in order for relationship to thrive and flourish, you will need to cultivate it. You will need to do, what did I say? Cultivate the relationship. It's important. You need to cultivate it. It's good to meet people. It's good to have something with people. But you need a flourishing, empowering, helping relationship with all the people that are in your life. In order to get that, you need to cultivate that relationship. It's one thing to meet people, but it's another thing to form relationship with them. But it's also one thing to have relationship with people. And it's another thing for the relationship to thrive and flourish and become rich, helping relationship and empowering relationship. It does not just come about by chance. You and I will have to cultivate the relationship. Hallelujah. And to cultivate simply means to nurture something or help it grow. To nurture something or to water it so it can grow. Cultivation is like what a farmer does. Amen. A farmer does not only acquire a land, plants crops in it, and goes away, hoping for bumper harvest in the near future. A farmer does not just do that. A farmer will till the ground. He weeds the farm. He applies fertilizer and he trusts God for a good rainy season. So cultivation involves working and doing what's needful to make your relationship well, grow well, and yield the results that you desire to see come of it. Hallelujah. In life, we know that things seldom happen just by themselves. People do things to make things happen. People work to create things. There are things that you have to do to nurture and grow relationship. You have to discover what you need to do to nurture your relationship. Hallelujah. And do it consistently. If your relationship is not growing, if it's not flourishing, it's because there are things that you need to do that you have not figured out. There are things that you must do to grow your relationship. Hallelujah. And you must do it consistently so it grows, it flourishes. Everyone doing something to make it happen. If we don't grow relationships, they starve, they become lean, and they may eventually die. By death of relationship, I mean it can become toxic and harmful. And I've witnessed harmful relationships, toxic. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be like that. When God brings someone into your life, whatever is the form of that relationship it's about, is such that it is designed to empower you, help you grow, help you fulfill life, help you reach your destiny. Hallelujah. But there are things that you have to do to grow it, to make it flourish. If you don't do those things consistently, you will starve the relationship and it will become lean and may eventually die. And by dead, I mean become toxic and harmful. And sometimes the people that are important to your destiny walk away. They just walk away. Relationships break not because they are not ordained by God, not because the people are not meant for each other, but because people don't nurture their relationships. Grow it. Proverbs chapter 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A man that had friends must show himself friendly. You have to be friendly in order to keep someone, in order to maintain what you've got with someone. Hallelujah. Nobody sticks around for a long time in a toxic, harmful, depressive environment. So if you want friends, you want them to stick than a brother, closer than a brother, then you've got to show yourself friendly. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you're going to push people away from you. You have to cultivate your friendship. You have to cultivate your relationship. Glory be to God. But the fact is, as blessed as people are, and everybody that God created blessed. He puts things in them. He brings them to us as gifts, beautiful gifts. People are beautiful gifts. The most important gift that God can give you is the gift of people. Hallelujah. And that's why I think we have to learn to put value on people that on anything of life, on money, on success. You cannot go for money, go for success at the expense of what you've got with people. People worth more than anything of life is the best gift that God can give you. Hallelujah. But the fact of life is that challenges come. We experience challenges. And challenges come not necessarily because, like I said, you are with the wrong people, or because the people you are relating with don't care. Because now you begin to have difficulty with someone or with people does not mean that the people don't care or you are in the wrong place with the wrong people. No, no, no. Absolutely no. Relationships, all forms of relationships sometimes experience challenges. Beautiful, lovely, God-ordained couple, Christians, born again, loving couple, sometimes they encounter difficulty. Hallelujah. They experience friction. And challenges come because, see the world the way you see the world, understand the way you understand. And a lot of times friction happens because I want you to talk the way I talk. I want you to see what I'm seeing. I want you to understand the way I understand things. Sometimes I catch myself telling my wife on the phone quietly, but you don't have to explain everything. Just keep it short. We're different. You and I are different. Yeah, you have to accept that I'm different from you. And I cannot behave, do things, see things, approach things, handle situations the way you do. And I have to give you that room to be yourself. Am I speaking to someone this morning? We're different. But in the midst of our differences, and God made us different in order to create flavor. And our difference is what makes life beautiful. Amen. And I've seen that life becomes boring when all the people you are hanging around with are the same. Very boring. No adventures, no. You don't sometimes get wild. You're just the same boring, boring people. You talk the same. You like the same food. You like to go to the same old place. Boring life. And to make relationship interesting, God brings people that are different from you. You see, God never brings people, particularly when it concerns marriage, He does not bring people of the same kind. Amen. He brings different people. He brings different people. If you and your wife are just the same, I've got to change one of you. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. But hardly you find a couple that actually are exactly the same. Because God brings someone that will be suitable, not the same, a helpmate, someone who can see what you don't see. Amen. Someone who can approach things completely different from the way you approach them. If we all see this way and it will lead to the ditch, what are we going to do? We're all going to go into a ditch and no one will see differently. So God brings. You see, I mean, when people talk about we're not compatible, sometimes I don't understand what they mean by we're not compatible. Because actually God brings people that are different. When you talk about compatibility, you're simply saying we're not able to work out our differences. We cannot reconcile. We cannot compromise. And it's a failing. So God wants us to work hard, to really work hard to maintain peace in times of challenges, deal with difficulties, so we can maintain harmony and keep what He has blessed us with. So God speaks to us in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, verse 19. And God says there, by the mouth of Paul, the apostle, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. I like to emphasize on the word follow. The word follow here means to pursue with a commitment. You are to pursue, committedly pursuing peace with people that are in your life. The people that you are blessed with. You are to pursue, go after, committedly, peace. Amen. And doing things that may strengthen the other person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To endeavor, the Bible says, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says to should endeavor to maintain peace. Particularly in the brotherhood like this, the unity of the Spirit is very important. In the church, the unity of the Spirit is important. Amongst us Christians, the unity of the Spirit is very important. The moment disagreement begins to set in into a church, the church becomes carnal. The fire is quenched. The move of God is hindered. And people begin to get hurt, and the devil begins to have a field day, and people become sick. They are afflicted in their marriages, they are afflicted in their finances, when frictions begin to set in the church. If the devil wants to destroy a group of people, all he needs to do is to kill that bond of peace. So the Bible says we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor. And the word endeavor means to try hard to achieve it. Try hard to achieve it. Make the effort or go to every length to make the bond of peace and the unity of the Spirit remains in the church. Don't break it. Don't break it. Don't be the cause of that happening. Hallelujah. And that is when, but you see, we can never, ever, no matter in this human form, because of our differences, because of how we handle things, we can never, ever, in this life, avoid challenges. Relational challenges in marriages, in among siblings, among ourselves in the church. Sometimes we will step on each other's toes. Sometimes we will say things in an offensive way. Sometimes we would behave in a way that someone is not happy. as a Christian, what do you do? Your Christian character is tested. Your maturity is tested when things like that happen. Are you just going to break everything to pieces and say, let's scatter it anyway, or let's spoil it? Or what are you going to do? Well, let me share with us very quickly some important tips in dealing with challenges. Challenges will always come. That's one thing you have to accept. And we may never be able to run away from it. But the first thing is to accept that your relationship is important. And agree together, particularly among couples, agree together from onset that the relationship is worth working hard for. Hallelujah. Accept that your relationship is important. And it is worth working hard for. The value you put in what you have will always determine the extent you will go to protect it. It will determine the extent you will go to protect it. The value you put on your marriage will determine the extent you will go to protect it. The value you put on your friendship will determine the extent you will go to protect it. Because people only pay the price, whatever the price is, for what is precious and of value to them. You can pay the price to make your relationship grow only if what you have with someone is very important to you. And you cannot afford to lose it. Amen. Keep friendship. Keep your bonds. Keep people. Hallelujah. Keep them. Do the go to every length that you can to keep people. It's never a win. It's a lose. Or a loss. Lose-lose when you end relationships of any kind. Except in the first place, God didn't arrange it. Hallelujah. Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls. I told you in VA before that anytime you see the kingdom, don't quickly focus on heaven. Kingdom simply means where God's will is being done, where God reigns over, what God has rulership over, or where the will of God is being done is his kingdom. Hallelujah. What concerns you that was arranged and put together by God is his kingdom. The things that he influenced to put together in your life is his will for you, his kingdom. And the moment you discover the will of God, the kingdom of God, the gift of God, the workings of God in your life, the Bible says there's a way to approach it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. In other words, he was willing to go all the way to keep it, what he has found. Hallelujah. He was willing to make any sacrifice, let go certain things, so that that thing will not fall apart. Actually, the proof that you love someone and value him in your life is seen in your willingness to make sacrifices that is required to maintain what you two have together. The proof that you truly love and value someone in your life is in your willingness to make the sacrifices required to maintain what you two have together. John 15:13 says, greater love had no man than this, that the man lays down his life for his friend. So how do I know that you truly love me and I'm of value to you? Because of the sacrifices you're able to make for me. That you can lay down your life for me. You can go out of your comfort. You can discontinue certain things to prove that. Quickly, number two, learn to communicate with each other effectively. I know you understand these principles actually, but they are worth mentioning again. Learn to communicate effectively. Learn to communicate effectively. Praise the Lord. It's very, very important. Learn to sit down and have conversation. Communicate with each other. Sit down and have conversation. A lot of times, you know, challenges, grow and become a monster because we've not really sat down to talk. It gets worse and more complicated because we've never really sat down to talk. And if you want to resolve challenges that you're having with someone in your life, you cannot avoid talking. I know men, particularly in the marriage relationship, sometimes men like to just do a runner and not talk. And the moment she says, honey, sweetheart, darling, I want us to talk, he becomes afraid. He's scared. Men are afraid of, can we talk, please? Some men, not all, some men. Oh, she has come again. Hallelujah. Is it okay? You know, I'm actually in a rush. You know, I have to go to work. Is it okay when I come back? And when he comes back, I'm really tired, honey. Please, I'm sorry. Let's do it tomorrow morning. Avoid talking. But if you want to resolve challenges with anyone, even at work, with colleague, you have to sit down and talk. If you cannot talk together, then you cannot resolve the issues. And may become a monster. Hallelujah. Communication is very crucial in relationship. You see, because number one, the other person in the relationship cannot read your mind. Maybe you're thinking, I'm sorry. I'm actually sorry. I'm stupid. I shouldn't have done that. He cannot read your mind. What I said yesterday was an error. I really shouldn't have said it that way. He cannot read your mind. She cannot read your mind. Also, number two, communication is important because what you are saying may not be what the other person is seeing. Hallelujah. There's a picture there. Can you scroll down and show that? That what you're saying may not be what the other person is saying. Have you seen this before? How many throws or planks are there? It depends on the perspective which we're looking from. He's saying it's three, and this guy is saying it's four. Are they both correct? But they will keep arguing. You know, so what you're saying may not be what the person is saying, so sitting down and talking, you know, and clarifying perspectives. Number three, your actions can be misinterpreted. And a lot of times people misinterpret your actions. Hallelujah. You may not go around explaining your actions to everybody, but actually, the people you care about sometimes need to understand why you acted that way, why you behaved that way, the reason for why you are being this. Amen. So, you know, In communication, I mean, one thing you need to, there are a few things you need to answer. Are you hearing what is being said? Are you hearing what is being said? Do you understand what is being said? Is what you are saying, is what you are seeing or saying the same with what the other person is seeing or saying? How do you know you've got the right message? What meaning do you make out of it? Is it what the speaker really means? Amen. And you cannot understand people, but importantly is to know that you cannot understand people. Or the reason why they do things. Except you can see things from their own perspective. Hallelujah. Except you can see things from their own perspectives. In effective communication, you know these principles, I believe. I'll try to round up very soon. You have to listen. You have to learn to listen, and listen to understand, and not simply to answer back or defend your positions. You're listening to understand what is being said. Amen. A lot of times we're not listening. We're not listening. Hallelujah. We think we are, but we're not listening. So listening to understand and not to defend your position. Defend your stand. You've already made up your mind. The moment the person starts talking, even before he concludes, you've made up your mind how you're going to answer back anyway. So you can't wait for him to just finish or her, so you can just say what is in your mind. And you've not really listened. You have to listen. And sometimes we cut through people's conversation and not listen until they finish explaining themselves. In listening, you must be patient to allow the other person take as long as he or she needs to explain themselves. You may not be comfortable with what is being said, however, do not cut through and interrupt the process. If you do, you may never get to hear all of it, and you may never really, really get the message. So listening involves patiently waiting. Let her finish. Let him finish. I've sat with couples before to talk. And some, they can't wait. They don't listen because this person is talking, that person is talking. It's okay, keep quiet, let him finish. And the moment this other person says what the other person does not really like hearing, then the other person starts talking. They cut through. And you end up spending hours and not really hearing the other person and not knowing exactly how the person feels or sees things. Hallelujah. James 1:19 must be your principle as a Christian. Very, very important principle. Everybody must understand this principle. And it shows maturity. It shows maturity. Hallelujah. It shows maturity. We have, for my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick at hearing, but slow in speaking. Wait. Don't talk too fast. Keep your cool. Keep your calm. What the person is saying may not be what you are comfortable with. Let him or her still talk. Just listen. Hallelujah. Interrupting a communication may lead to exchange of words and arguments. It can aggravate the situation, and you may never be able to know what is in the heart or the mind of the other person. Amen. If you want to really listen and really want to understand, you may need to ask, how do you mean? How do you feel about it? How does that affect you? How will it affect us? What can I do differently to make you feel better? Glory be to God. Number 3, identify what the root cause of the problem is and commit to not allow it have power over you. Identify what the root cause of your problem is. There's always a cause for every problem, every challenge, every difficulty that you experience in the relationship. There is a cause. Don't push everything under the carpet and pretend it's not there. Everything is cool. Amen. You have to find out the root cause. There's always a cause for problem. You must find out what it is when it confronts you, because you cannot solve any problem if you have no clue what it is. Amos chapter 3 verse 4 says, will a lion roar in the forest when he had no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gene is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? There is always a cause behind something. Find out what it is in your challenges. Hallelujah. Find out what is causing my friend to behave this way. My friend no longer picks my calls. Why? My friend does not reply text messages anymore. Why? Anytime I ask for us to go out and do what we used to enjoy before, he now comes up with excuses. Why? Why has this person stopped visiting like he used to? This person used to smile when he sees me and he greets, but now he frowns. And sometimes he walks away pretending he has not seen me. Why? And some of us African people, especially, you know, we're proud because I see a younger person. You know, the tradition says that actually he should greet me first. Is that correct? That is it. And that's, if you're well brought up, well trained, then you know that when you see an older person, you greet him. You greet him first. You greet him with courtesy. That shows that you're well raised. But when I see someone that I deserve regard from, respect from, he sees me, he turns the other way and frowns. I know it's not normal, is that? Then I want to find out why. Praise the Lord. Your wife has stopped cooking. Why? When you reach out, you know, your wife says, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired. You can sense that things have changed. They are no longer the way they are. This woman is behaving differently from when I know her. Or this man is behaving, is a new husband. Why? You want to find out why? Praise the Lord. Don't just throw tantrum, go about, you know, hallying, you know, making yourself look like a nag and all of that. You want to find out what's going on. What's happening? It's no longer the same. You're different. Things have changed. Until you know the root cause of the problem, you're not going to be able to change to resolve the problem. And the more you do nothing about that, the more it's going to keep growing. Going to keep growing. And it's like you're going to become a monster. And kill the beautiful thing that you have together. And when you identify the problem, very quickly, I said, number one, be willing to do things. Is that the one? Talk about it. Talk about it and agree together on how you are going to handle it. Talk about it. Agree together on how you're going to handle it. Keeping in mind that you cannot allow it have power over you. Never allow your problems have power over you. You need to agree from onset. We'll deal with any problems. There's no problem that will come, particularly in marriage. There's no problem that will come that will allow it overpower us. We'll deal with it. We'll look for a way out and we'll kill it. Hallelujah. But then you need to talk about it and agree on how you're going to resolve it. Number two, if you're struggling to agree, you've sat down, you've talked, you've done all the listening, but you're struggling to agree together on how you're going to go about it, you need to seek counsel from someone you believe cares. Not just everyone. Someone you believe cares, has no personal interest, will not be biased, will be honest with you, and will protect your privacy. The whole world is not going to know that you're having issues with that person. Number three, you need to commit to the process of resolving the problem. You've agreed this is what we're going to do to resolve the problems. You need to keep to that process. You have to keep to that process. If you value reconciliation, don't sit down with someone and say, okay, I understand, I agree. Okay, let's do this. Okay, we'll do this from today, blah, blah, blah. And getting up and turning back, you forget everything completely. You're going to come back to the same position again. You have to commit to the process of resolving the problem. Number four, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Amen. Don't make excuses. Hallelujah. And number five, be willing to do things differently, even if you are not comfortable with it, if it will strengthen your bond together. So you may need to change. You may need to do things differently. You have to be willing to change and do things differently. And sometimes change is challenging, is tough, is difficult. Amen. It's difficult, but you have to practice change and commit to change. Number six, be willing to compromise, but not violating scriptures. When we talk about compromise, we're not talking about violating scriptures. But you need to not just be Mr. Right. All the time you are Mr. Right. You are standing on your position. I'm the man. This is what I want. The head of the family. You have to compromise. You have to shift ground. You have to move closer to that person. You have to learn to breach. Amen. And let go. As a matter of fact, loving is sacrifice. Proving love is making sacrifices. Going out of your comfort just so you can make someone you care about happy. Amen. Don't stick to your I am right position. You could be wrong. But even if you are right, sometimes just choose to be wrong. Amen. Just choose to be wrong. Hallelujah. Number seven, agree on your differences. Agree that there are differences, there are issues, but measure on or celebrate what is common to you. Celebrate your what you're enjoying together, what's working for you. Don't pay too much attention. I'm not saying to push it under the carpet and pretend it's not there. You need to work on the challenges, but don't allow it to have power over you. And number eight, be willing to lose in order to gain a friend. Hallelujah. What did I say? Be willing to lose in order to gain a friend. Don't insist you have to win. I'm right. It has to be right. Lose the fight. Sometimes you need to lose the fight. And finally, number four, never pay it back in the same coin. Never pay it back in the same coin. Hallelujah. Never pay it back in the same coin. He's yelling, you are yelling. She's on top of her voice, you're on top of your voice. She stops greeting, you stop greeting. She doesn't cook, you don't provide, you don't do anything. You know that kind of, do you understand what I mean? Pain in the same way. He slaps you as you slap back. Hallelujah. You like to retaliate. There are people who like to fight back. It's not a Christian spirit to fight back. You have to learn sometimes to absorb it. Praise the Lord. Fighting back is not a Christian spirit. It's not a Christian spirit at all. It's not a Christian virtue. You must learn to take insult. Allow people to ride on you. Paul says, I'd rather you take advantage of me than me taking advantage of you. That's a Christian spirit. Are you with me? Recompense no man evil for evil. Romans 12:17. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You have to be right in the light of the word of God before all men, good, bad people, terrible people. You have to just stick to the word of God and behave in the fruit of the Spirit, irrespective of what's been done or said to you. If it be possible, the Bible says, verse number 18, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Hallelujah. When you behave that way, it makes you look stupid, foolish. But that's been wise. That's been wise. In foolishness, we are wise. In weakness, we are strong. Hallelujah. As nothing, nobodies, we are somebody. That's what counts. The principle of the world is contrary to the principle of this kingdom. And in applying kingdom principles, even though they appear foolishness to the natural man, is the wisdom of God. The Bible said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How can you make sense of that? But that's what the Bible says, overcome evil with good. If your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. That's what the Bible says we should do. I like this passage, and I'm ending with this scripture, this one, and then I finish. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to verse 30 from the Message Bible. I like the Message Bible for this scripture. It says, is it on the screen? Yeah, it is. Okay, I think we're going to read that scripture together. One, two, go. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, give to wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more teeth for tat stuff. Live generously. This is what Jesus says. It's completely against and opposed to how we will behave. Isn't it? But this is not from Paul or Peter. This is from who? Jesus himself. So it's New Testament. This is the scripture. This is the Christian. And let me tell you, this is how your spirituality is demonstrated. This way you know you are spiritual. You are a Christian. You are practicing the scriptures. This. And may God help us, you know, achieve our destiny. I tell you what the Lord told me, even though I said last, The Lord told me many years ago, and I wrote a book because I was inspired by that word from God. The Lord told me, you need people, put prime, premium, value on people, because you need people. Because there's something that you may never have, no matter how hard you work for it, until someone gives it to you. There is a place that you need to go but may never get there until someone takes you there. There's something you need to know, searching on your own, you can never find out until someone comes around and shows it to you. And there's someone, if you meet in destiny, it will change your life. But you may never get to meet that person until someone comes and takes you and introduces you to him. You need people. I want to finish with this. I said, put value on people and do the best that you can to keep what you have. Don't undermine anybody. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know the future. The person that looks least likely to be the person may be your introducer and destiny helper tomorrow. Give the Lord a clap of praise, somebody.